Running your own business can feel isolating, but you don't have to figure it all out alone. Join a free guest session inside the Smashing the Plateau community to get fresh ideas and real solutions to your biggest business challenge. Spots are limited. Reserve yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.
If you could understand why your loyal customers keep coming back to you for more and turn that into the primary benefits that your brand stands for, you're going to find other people who want those same benefits. And they're going to see that the benefits that have leveled up to the top are the ones that you stand for most people. They're going to be like, wow, they totally get me.
Today, you'll hear from Kevin Perlmutter, an expert in brand strategy and the founder of Limbic Brand Evolution. In our conversation, Kevin delves into why emotional insight is the key to attracting and retaining loyal customers, and how brands can thrive by focusing on authentic connections rather than traditional persuasion. He shares practical stories, actionable strategies for growth, even during uncertain times, and advice on leveraging community support as you build your business. Get ready for a thought-provoking discussion that will challenge the way you think about branding, customer relationships, and entrepreneurial success. Now let's welcome Kevin Perlmutter. Kevin is chief strategist and founder of Limbic Brand Evolution, a brand strategy and neuromarketing consultancy which puts emotional insight at the center of how brands attract and retain customers. He's also author of Brand Desire, Spark Customer Interest Using Emotional Insights. He works with business and brand leaders to create stronger connections between their brand and the people they want to reach. As a behavioral science-rooted brand consultant and customer centricity work session facilitator to guide the development of more effective methods for brand evolution and customer engagement. Kevin, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me again. It's great to see you.
Great to have you on, and great to be able to get an update on what you've been doing in your business, and we'll get on to other topics as well. But I wanted to start off just with maybe a quick update, because the last time you were on, we talked about how to establish a branded consultancy. And I wondered if you could share, maybe start off with a brief recap on what led you to start your business, then we can talk more about how things have evolved.
Oh, I love that question. And as we talked about in the pre-show, it's just great to be back. This is the third time I've been on your show, and my career is as a brand strategy consultant with my own business is 6 years in. So after many, many years of working for other people, working for other brand strategy, another brand strategy consultancy, working at a sonic branding music studio, learning all there is to learn about brand strategy, and later in my career, behavioral science, I came to a realization. I came to a realization that traditional brand strategy is of the past. It's an era that should be retired. It's rooted in the persuasion-based approaches to strategy and marketing and messaging. And what I learned in the last few years of my career working for other people is that behavioral science and the way the brain works responds to people's emotional instincts. And there's so much we're going to talk about on that topic. But when I came to that discovery in 2000, in the late 2010s, I decided to launch my brand consultancy in 2019. And I started off as a solopreneur with no clients, with only an idea that I wanted to evolve my own industry, that I wanted to change the way brand strategy has played out in the past and the way it should be done in the future. And in the last 6 years, I've established my business. I work with some incredible clients, and I launched the book that published in July of 2025 called Brand Desire, which is all about putting emotional insight at the center of how brands attract and retain customers.
First of all, I want to say congratulations for taking a bold and courageous step, right? What you've just described is to say that it's an audacious goal is probably an understatement, right? You set out, you want to change an industry, change the way people think. And to start that off with zero clients and zero business is very bold. And I want to hear an update on and how things have been going, because it sounds like you've actually accomplished a huge amount.
I'm hopefully in the progress of accomplishing a huge amount for my business and for me personally and for my family. I can honestly say I've accomplished a huge amount. I've put my career 100% in my control. All the things that I set out to achieve for me and my family, putting my values first, working with people who I want to spend time with, as a strategist, not becoming a freelance strategist, doing other people's work the way they want to do it, but actually creating my own approach to behavioral science rooted brand strategy and only doing work using that approach because I believe it's the right thing to do for my clients, is I could honestly say thank you. I feel like I've been successful in achieving that. In terms of that audacious goal of changing my industry, well, it's still an audacious goal. I hope I'm at the early stages of making that kind of an impact. With the book launch, that is the first step in the right direction of getting this approach to brand strategy out to more than just the clients who I have the chance to work with.
Yeah. Well, the thing about audacious goals is there's always more to do. No matter how far along you think you may be on the path, there's always more.
Always more. Always more. So
great. And thank you for the update. So in trying to make this kind of change in direction in the way people are thinking and perhaps how they're behaving, what can you share about what works in terms of actually making the kinds of connections that enable you to be able to work with the kinds of people and the kinds of companies that resonate with your values?
Well, first of all, I want to work with people who are believers in the idea that their brand is in the world to make people's lives better. Believers in the idea that understanding more about what makes your customers tick and catering to those needs and understanding those needs is a good thing. My clients are not typically and hardly ever, if ever, a brand that is having, you know, horrible customer experience challenges and very negative feedback from customers. I'm working with brands that are generally good, generally having a great customer experience, have very happy customers. And what I'm helping them do is understand why they are successful with the current customers that they have and how they can get the word out about what those customers are feeling so that new customers can find what they're looking for and feel attracted to that brand. What I call creating limbic sparks, moments when a brand has you at hello and you want to keep coming back for more.
Yeah. And what kinds of transformations have you seen when these kinds of companies make the kinds of changes that you're promoting?
Well, they become more of themselves. They become more, here's some things. Like, there are some challenges with the way brands are currently doing things. One is there are a lot of about us statements. We do this, we do that. You know, these are our products, these are our services, persuasion-based approaches to marketing. And those don't work so well anymore. We don't want to be sold to. We want to encounter a brand that feels like before we even got there, it was designed with us in mind. So if you're a brand leader who's just focused on finding your why and shouting it from the rooftop, you're missing a lot of people. You're probably coming off as self-serving, inauthentic. And, you know, while it might be a great leadership principle, it's a half-baked brand strategy. Brand strategy needs to be this intersection of not only what's your why, but who's your who. You need to understand the people who you're trying to reach. You need to understand what's going on in the context of their lives, what they care about, and what they're trying to achieve, whether it's greater happiness, greater success, whatever it is. And then you can put your products and service offering together and your brand messaging together and your customer experience together in a way that actually helps them feel like they've found what they're looking for. So I'm going to pause there for a second because I think I went a little off your question and I want to help you get back on track to what you want to ask me next. But there's a lot of things that I've put in place in my brand strategy approach that helps brands stay on the right track with what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Maybe you could share an example of a company that
Wonderful.
Made the kind of change that you've just described.
Yeah. So let me talk about a wonderful business that's a small business run by an entrepreneur. The brand is called ServiceByte. And ServiceByte is a Westchester, New York based IT firm that does managed services for their clients. They basically provide IT help desk support, new IT installations, security measures, and things like that. I work with customers of all shapes and sizes. This is one of my smaller clients. I also work with medium sized companies that have hundreds of employees and millions of dollars in revenue. But this, I loved working with this business because they are in a commodity space. If you look up managed service IT in Westchester, New York, you're going to get a huge number of possible companies to work with. And they all say the same things. They all have the same products and services. But what I found when working with this business owner and this brand is that their customers love them. It's all rooted in the founder's original principles for starting his business. He came from working from big IT firms. He decided that he wanted to create a more concierge style service for his customers because he noticed the frustrations that customers were having. Imagine when you're having an IT issue in your business, things are down, nothing is working. You feel like you're losing business, you're stuck in time. And then if you have IT tech support that is not so empathetic about your situation, it feels very frustrating. So the business owner of ServiceByte put together this brand, his brand, in a way that took care of these challenges, but his brand wasn't keeping up with the success of the business. And what we did was we took a look, we asked his clients, what are you feeling when you work with this company? What would you miss the most if this company were to go away? If this company was a superhero, what would be its superpower? How does it make you feel every time you interact with this company? So these are the kinds of questions we asked. And what we learned was that this brand helps their customers feel like they're going to be always on. Their business is never going to be down. And when it is down, it is back up and running as quickly as humanly possible. And there are people who got their backs who care. On my client side, the business owner, they feel they're always on. They're always happy. They're always eager. They're always monitoring. So this idea of always on became what I call the shared emotional motivation. The shared emotional motivation is something that does not exist in traditional brand strategy because most brands are focused on their own motivations. But when you find the shared emotional motivation, then you could bring your offering to life in a way that is manifests itself into what I call a brand benefit and invitation. So most brands have a tagline, they have a brand idea. Most of them are about us statements. But when you use Limbic Sparks brand strategy and you have a shared emotional motivation and understanding of what both the brand and the customer are trying to achieve individually and together, then your brand idea can be a benefit and invitation. And in this case, it's we do our thing so you can keep doing yours, which immediately says to business owners, wow, they get me. They understand I need to keep my business up and running, and they're going to be there for me when I need them. So my business is always on.
Yeah, no, thank you for sharing that. That's a great example. And it does sound like what you're doing is different than, right, as you've described, different than traditional brand strategy. And I would imagine makes a big difference for the companies that you're supporting, like the one you just described.
It does. You know, traditional brand strategy is unfortunately not just rooted in persuasion-based approaches, but it's also often done with a huge lack of true customer understanding. Everybody thinks they understand their customers. If I would have spent time with this client of mine or any of my clients and said, okay, leadership team, tell me about your customers. Tell me about the people you're serving. Oh, okay. Thank you for all that information. Now, what is it you want to say about your products and services? Okay. Thank you very much. Let's go create a brand strategy and some messaging. Cool. Let's go. Wait a minute, we haven't talked to any customers. We haven't listened to their voices. We haven't heard what they are saying, what they are feeling. And here's a secret. I put it in the book, so it's no longer a secret. Here's the thing. If you could understand why your loyal customers keep coming back to you for more and turn that into the primary benefits that your brand stands for, you're going to find other people who want those same benefits. And they're going to see that the benefits that have leveled up to the top are the ones that you stand for most people, they're going to be like, wow, they totally get me. And here's the other thing. Those benefits are always emotional benefits. They're always about how the experience working with that brand or using that product and service makes you feel. They're less about the little details that the brand wants to say about all the offering specifics. It's about how it makes you feel. And that's what my book is all about. It's about understanding how people want to feel and using that as your guide.
Kevin, I wondered if you might have some insights on the connection between brand desire and these emotional insights and the challenges of business in 2025. We've seen a lot of upheaval globally in all kinds of markets due to political, economic, and all kinds of other factors. And one of the things I have seen is how all of this chaos and upheaval has affected decision making. And for companies to make decisions about perhaps trying something new, going in a different direction, hiring a consulting team to work with them, hiring employees, etc., the decisions behind that seem to be slower and slower. People are afraid to make decisions in this kind of marketplace. And I wondered how that might either dovetail with your work or how there may be some impact. I just wonder what your observations are on this phenomenon.
Well, I love the question. And it's my observations are that business leaders historically underestimate the power of how people want to feel or how people do feel. And we can look at situations that are very live in our world right now, where the way a brand or business leader has made people feel has caused tremendous backlash to a business. And this isn't a political statement or observation, but if you look at what's happened to the Tesla brand, you understand what I'm talking about. If you recognize the fact that Target just had to let go their CEO, you can understand what I'm talking about. There's things happening in the business world that are affecting the way people feel about brands that are causing tremendous upheaval for those brands. I'd say there are equally examples out there where brands are making people feel incredibly good and it's attracting people to that brand. So the important thing is we have to recognize that people aren't roaming around the earth searching for your brand and jumping on it every time you have a sale or talk about your features and your benefits. They're roaming around the earth trying to live life, trying to be happy, trying to understand, you know, where things are going and how they can be successful and how they can enjoy things. And if a brand encounters them along the way that feels like it's something they want to bring into their world, they're going to instinctively make that a big consideration. Instinctively, our brains will signal to us whether or not we should consciously think about something or feel something and how we should consciously think about it or feel it. So if there's something going on with a particular brand and it triggers this, it lights something up in our mind. If it's positive, I call it limbic sparks. If it's negative, I call it a business problem. So
yeah. So you shared a couple of examples of companies that are facing particular challenges because of some of these things. What might be some examples of companies that are actually creating these limbic sparks in a tumultuous time?
I think there are brands out there that are continuing to lean into their values and prioritize customer service and customer experience. So one brand that I keep going back to, I love this brand, Ben & Jerry's. I mean, I think Ben & Jerry's is just a brand that has always leaned into its values. And 20 plus years after being, I'm making up the amount of years, I think it's about 20 plus years, after being acquired by Unilever, they still operate as an independent brand that has maintained incredible flavors, an incredible brand aesthetic and identity. They are still fighting for the environment. They're still fighting for people's rights. And it's a brand that attracts people to an experience and a set of values. So, you know, that's one example of a brand that I think is continuing to do really well. Yeah, I'm going to stop there.
Okay. No, that's a great example, particularly after the company was sold, because often that changes the whole culture of a company. Whatever it was that they had before the buyout often disappears.
They made sure that that wasn't going to happen. And this many years later, it's still enforced, which is wonderful.
Great example. I wondered if we could change the subject just a little bit and talk about community, and in particular, how you may see community playing into what's going on in the business world today.
Well, community is about being part of a group of people who supposedly want to spend time with each other. So I think that, you know, in the business world, that makes a tremendous difference. When you have people who appreciate what you're doing in the world, whether it's in your personal life or in your business, when you have people that are advocates for what you have to offer as a business or business person, this is tremendously valuable. My community has helped my business be successful because I am not someone who focuses on short-term offers or lead generation or clickbait or anything like that. Living my values in my business means that I'm going to focus on working with people who want to spend time with me and who I want to spend time with. And I've been very fortunate that the network of people who I've gotten to know in the community I've created throughout my career keeps coming back to me and saying, hey, I've got something for you. Want to work on this thing with me? And it usually works out pretty well. So most of my clients are people who I've known a while or who have recently been introduced to me by people who have made a wonderful referral.
Yeah. Kevin, what advice might you have for somebody who is a recent corporate refugee about connecting with community?
Lean into your network. There are people out there who have worked with you. There are people out there who know you. There are people out there who you've created limbic sparks for in your career. They're people who will support you. And you're going to get much more positive emotional feelings and feedback from the people who know you as you're starting off in this scary sort of starting my own business space than you're going to get from, you know, spending a lot of money on Google ads and, you know, LinkedIn posts that are going nowhere and fighting with the algorithm and, you know, and all of that. You know, you're lean into the people who know you. The other thing I would say is, as you're shaping what makes, and this goes for your question, entrepreneurs who are just starting out or business owners of any size or brand leaders of any size, talk to the people who know what you have to offer. Hear them describe it to you in their words. Hear about the benefits. Ask questions like, if you were going to describe me to someone who doesn't know what I have to offer, what would you say about me? What is it about what I do that is different and better than what other people who do what I do, how they approach it? Ask these questions or have someone ask for you, and then use what you hear as the benefits you offer for why other people should want to work with you. People know you better than you do. You know yourself pretty well, but other people see it from a different light that will be very valuable.
Yeah. And it takes some courage to ask that question, but it's really important to ask it and to listen to the answers.
I've asked that question at every phase of my journey over the last 6+ years. I asked it when I was starting my business and had this group of informal advisors. I asked it when I needed to tweak my offering. I asked it in January of 2023 when I started writing my book. And I asked it along the way as people were reviewing some chapters here and there. It is invaluable insight that you get from other people. The things you hear, the words you hear, and people describing how you do what you do so well and what it makes them feel is valuable insight that will give you courage to carry it forward to new people.
Yeah. Thank you so much for mentioning that. It's a really important point. Kevin, if someone wants to go deeper with anything we've talked about today, learn how they can get a copy of your book or any other resources you have and get in touch with you, where's the best place to go?
I think the best place to go right now is branddesirebook.com. Branddesirebook.com is a page on my full company website. It has all details of the book, describes what's inside. It shares endorsement quotes from the head of brand at Google and Paco Underhill and 9 other incredible people who read my book early on and had wonderful things to say about it. It gives details on where you can buy the book. And it's also a page on my website where you can click to other things about Limbic Brand Evolution and how I can help you in your business in a variety of ways. I'd also love if anyone wants to connect with me on LinkedIn, please do.
Okay. Kevin, thank you so much for taking the time to join us again on Smashing the Plateau. Share your insights, some great updates. My guest has been chief strategist and founder of Limbic Brand Evolution and author of Brand Desire, Kevin Perlmutter. Thank you, Kevin, for joining us.
Thank you for having me again. Thank you.
Running your own business can feel isolating. That's why we created Smash Through Your Business Roadblocks, a live interactive session where experienced professionals bring real challenges and work through them together using the Smash framework. It's your chance to experience the Smashing the Plateau community, a space where corporate refugees support one another to keep moving forward. You'll leave with fresh momentum, clarity, and maybe even a few new allies in your corner. Guest spots are limited, so grab yours now at smashingtheplateau.com/guest. That's smashingtheplateau.com/guest.